After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, guys? We're back with another after show for Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, season episode 5, entitled Slippery Slope. And boy, this episode was extremely slippery. I'm your host, Tyra Prude. I am joined with my lovely co-host. To the top right of me is Evan A. Say hey to everyone, girl.
Hey.
And then under her, we have Elgin.
Yo, yo.
And then, of course, we have Alfie on this side.
That side. What's up? I'm here.
I don't know. You know, we got a lot going on. But, guys, today was crazy. It was so much happened. We have a lot to talk about. We got to get into Alexis Sky and her sex trafficking. I think that's it was a really important topic that they talked about. And I'm happy that Young Jock, you know, decided to put something together for the community. We have to talk about Sierra and Shooter and their daughter in the fight at the school. That was insane. And then we have to talk about Rashida and Kirk's son getting arrested, and then this whole ski trip that she's planning in the midst of all of it. It's just so much that happened today. And of course, we have our news and gossip, our special segment, and then we are going to wrap. So what were you guys' overall thoughts? Elgin, let's start with you.
I think Atlanta finally gave me the hype a little bit that I needed, even though it wasn't, you know what, nah, this episode wasn't that hype. I'm going to be honest. It was just a little, it was some stuff that
Elgin,
was all that.
You did not just say it was not that hype. So much happened to the point where I was over here like, what are we going to talk about? Because so much happened.
Yeah.
Elgin wasn't watching the same episode we were watching now.
Elgin was watching last week, clearly. Right. What?
I mean, I just want to see some bottles flying at this point, but it's okay.
The ratchetness. Okay, we know what Elgin represents, but you can further state your facts and your opinion as we continue on. Ebony, what did you think about this episode?
Yeah, this episode was bananas. I feel like we've been asking and begging for the drama, and this episode definitely served it to us. We had so much going on. I was over here texting Tyra like, oh my God.
We literally learned like, what's going on? I can't keep up.
Right. It was a lot going on.
Alfie, do you agree with Elgin or Ebony? What was it, crazy? Was it good? What?
I'm going to go with stressful. As a black male, I was dying in this. I was like, oh my God, I'm so stressed out. There's so many issues that I'm nervous. I'm glad the quarantine got us inside for a while, just so we could just, you know what I'm saying, stay away from people, stay away from police, all kinds of things, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, it's amazing how things can affect other things, like Carly's relationship with Sierra based off of the daughter situation, and how that may have given them an opportunity to find some kind of amends. So I was cool with it because that's real life. But I'm like, dang, real life be weird and messed up. Ooh, shake them cooties off.
You know what I'm saying? Shake them cooties off. Okay.
Wait.
No, but I totally agree. It was just so much. And like Ebony said, I really feel like we've been waiting for this drama, but I wasn't expecting it to be like this. Like, this is some deep drama. This isn't your typical bottle throwing, as Elgin would say, or, you know, throwing hands. This is like life stuff, like where the law is involved. So I am just ready to dive into it. So let's go ahead and first talk about one of the more serious topics of the show, which was Alexis Sky and Young Jock, and how they put together this panel to educate young women in Atlanta about the sex trafficking that's been happening. And we kind of got a lot of crazy insight of just what goes down. Like, for me personally, the woman who talked about how she had slept with literally
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The 20 men a day had got an abortion, and then right when she was done, she was back at it. It was just so crazy, and it just really brought to light how serious that issue is, especially in the Atlanta community. So, Alfie, what did you just think about that whole thing and how Alexis, you know, was able to show us a different side of her to bring, you know, this hard, unbearable news and whatever to life?
It showed a lot of strength, first and foremost. I think it was understandable her coming late and dealing with the fact that she had to open up to a bunch of people and all that. I really felt like it was a great moment with seeing another side of Akbar as far as showing her compassion. I think it was important for her to be in there in that scene because everything mm-hmm. about her has been so, like, tough. I commend Young Jock for putting a platform that was holistic. It wasn't just like a little bit of information. It was like you even saw the one woman who was a trafficker and how, you know, that whole terrible scenario and universe has a lot of layers to it to where you can be in it and all of a sudden be a part of it and all mm-hmm. kinds of stuff. And when you find out stuff like that about people, it hopefully, like it did Young Jock and it did Akbar, give a more like holisticness to it. I know everybody goes through things and people have different backgrounds that may lead to their lifestyles and their reactions and their, you know, not being able to communicate well with people or be able to be in society. And those are the girls you may think, oh, she's just ratchet or she's just out there, where they have a real background story where they're overcoming or being affected by. So that kind of stuff, I hope, leads other people, if they find out people's story, not to judge, but more be like, okay, you're somebody who's been through things. I hope that you're doing well in life. I hope that things are good. And, you know, yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that was a lot.
Okay, Evan, you know, but you have to let it out. So I'm like, let's let Alfie take this one because he has a strong opinion on everything serious. Ebony, okay, so we talked about last week how Young Jock was just super petty and just how he handled the whole thing with light skinned Keisha and just, you know, kind of throwing her to the wolves at the radio station. I guess how did you feel about him just like hosting something like that, seeing just his past on the show of just being this kind of messy person, and now it was like, oh, I'm serious, I'm hosting a real life panel. I don't know, just like, what was your views on Young Jock and just the overall event?
I mean, I think the Young Jock thing, I think it was interesting because it's so not his brand to be talking about things like this. And I get it, he has 5 daughters, he has a lot of kids, we know that, but it was like really, it wasn't his thing. Like, that wasn't, maybe, you know, if one of the other people, like one of the other women, if Alexis would have posted it or something, maybe that would have made more sense. But I was also confused why his fiance was there. Like, was she also a victim? Did we get that far?
Well, no, I think she was more so just like being a support system to him. Because he even kind of mentioned like, yeah, we're still on the rocks or whatever, but she's here to help me kind of, I guess, moderate and control the panel.
Okay. Well, you know, I think it was a very important topic to be discussed. I thought it was, you know, Alfie said something about Alexis being late and I was like, yeah, exactly. Why was she late, first of all?
Because she knew she was a star.
I thought it's because it was such a hard thing to do.
It was very awkward that like you're coming into a panel with like people telling their stories. She said that this woman said she had 15 abortions and 15 abortions and you're sleeping with 20 men a day and then you're just walking in late in the middle of her story. Like, I don't know. I just thought that was a little like rude.
I mean, I feel like maybe because if there was a flyer for it, she probably was like front and center on it. So she had to make her grand entrance regardless of what the event was. She had to be there. Elgin, is it shocking to you that this was Alexis's experience? Like, we just see her as a whole different person on social media, from her twerking to her recent arguments with Ari and just whatever. So, like, I guess how was it for you just seeing her in this light, knowing, like, she's always in the blogs?
I mean, I wouldn't say I was surprised per se, just because social media is that kind of place or atmosphere where you can kind of put a different persona of who you are on social media. So I wouldn't say I was more so surprised, but it did kind of catch me off guard a little. So, I mean.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I feel like Alexis comes off very confident, very assured of herself. Like, you know, I feel like, my opinion, I think twerking on the gram is like the most vulnerable thing that you could do, only because
it is
like you are putting yourself out there and being on Tory Lanez Live and doing all this mess. It's like, I feel like that's more intimate than, you know, telling a story about like your past. So I don't know. I was just, so she seems
but
so
it's more intimate.
I'm not about to be twerking on the gram, okay? Like, I don't know. I just, so I feel like she's so assured of herself that it's almost like, I didn't expect her to be, you know, to have such a strong story. But I'm glad that she was able to share, because a lot of people are going through that same thing, and so to be able to express that, I think it's great. I mean, people look up to her. You know what I'm saying? People are watching her all the time on social media.
A lot of people. So,
yeah, it's good to see a different side of her. I'm glad we're seeing more of her twerking. I'm glad.
Yeah, it was really cool to see her that way. I mean, just for her to be just very transparent, I know it was probably extremely hard for her. And for it to happen so young, she was 15 years old. You know, she said she was a runaway. So, you know, kudos to you, Alexis Sky. Alfie, you already know. How can we let the fans know to stay in tune with us as we continue to stay safe quarantining?
Oh, that's what's up. Well, like you at the crib, we at the crib working hard to give you the best news that we can. We need those 5 stars. We need those likes, those comments. We do read them. We thank you for just loving on this AfterBuzz family. And you are the reason why we are the ESPN of TV Talk.
Yes, we're the ESPN of TV Talk. Okay, so literally this episode, it was like one heavy thing to the next. We got to get into Sierra and her whole family issue. Now, we know Sierra has had a hard time. She's been fighting cases, and she's finally in the clear. And then, boom, now she got issues at home because of her daughter. First of all, Ebide, what would you do if you found out your daughter was calling you because somebody's mom is getting ready to jump her with their daughter in the bathroom?
Right. I mean, I might look cute and innocent, you guys, but I'm trying to tell you.
That's why I asked you. I'm like, Ebide looks like she has it in her. I can see
it. Because first when they told the story, I kind of was confused. I thought Sierra was the one that jumped.
Me too.
Oh, you just got off the case. Hold up. Why are you getting into a fight again? Lord have mercy. But then when they explained it that it was the other mom, I was like, okay, now that makes sense. And she handled it very well because I know she's going through it, like the legal process, but like because she was like, I was trying to reason with her. I was trying to talk her down. She lives in my building. And then she's like, the phone dropped, this, then the third. I'm surprised she didn't roll up. I'm surprised Shooter didn't roll up. I'm surprised this woman is still walking. What is going on?
Shooter could have shot.
I am weak. Okay, Alfie, as a man, how do you think Shooter responded to it? Like, what I did respect out of Shooter, I liked how he was very disciplined with it. Like, you could tell Sierra was the mama that was like, uh-oh, we're pressing charges, we're doing this, but he was more so the disciplinary in the situation. It was like, you see how this can mess up your life. Do you think he took the right approach in doing this, or do you think he too should have been more hands-on, or like coming up to the school to help figure out why somebody is putting their hands on his daughter?
My honest opinion at the time watching it was that's what you are forced to do as a Black male who's a parent in urban, you know, society, I believe. I don't think his daughter was as innocent as it comes off. She seemed like she wasn't no punk. So I think it was a situation where there were other elements and they already lost a child. So when you lose a child, that already sets a different tone with your other kids. And in the sense of knowing the depths of reality, he's more so concerned about not bearing another child. I don't care what what elements are what. It's more of a, yes, you're a victim, but what part did you play so we can't have this happen again kind of thing. And I think that's maturity. I think that's just realness when it comes to, you know, the hood or, you know, real life scenarios that, I mean, when it comes to Kirk's kid, those kind of things, bad things happen to good people, and or not everybody's perfect. Even he had a juvie record, but it's one of the things where even in this situation, you could tell his daughter must have did something to the girl because she wasn't acting like, oh my God, why are they picking on me? She was more like, yeah, I get it. I understand.
She definitely did. She definitely was out and pouty. She looked just like Sierra on that couch. Yeah, I was so like, it, you
she had that like, and I'll do it again.
Listen. Okay. Yeah. So Elgin, do you think that she was like sincerely upset about the situation, or Paris was just sitting back like, yep, and I'll do it again. I don't care what y'all's like. It just really seemed like it was going in one ear and out the other.
I mean, that whole situation seems kind of convoluted because at the same time, like looking at her in the other scenes and stuff, that just seems like her demeanor. Like she's not really like a hyped or, you know, very expressive person. So that
natural
could come off as she's not,
bitch face.
Yeah. So that could come off as not, you know, not being innocent when in actuality she is. So, I mean,
I don't know. I think she's probably going through a whole lot more than like what they're showing. I think when you have a mom like Sierra who's out here on TV and, you know, twerking and fighting and whatever else you're doing, and then you have your dad, you know, who's very seems to be very about that life. I don't know. Right. We don't know how much time they spend with her, but like, she seems to be going through, why are you fighting at school? Like there's nothing more than you could just walk away, leave it alone, say your piece, say what you got to say. Why are you fighting? What's going on?
And you know, maybe that's a good point. Maybe it's something that is more personal. Like you said, she's in the spotlight in a sense. She has parents who are on TV acting a fool. She's probably getting picked on, bullied. And at this point, she's becoming the bully too, because it's like, I'm going to hold myself down. Like, I don't know. We need more into that situation. It happened a little while ago. Maybe I just need to look back into it.
That don't excuse the parent, though.
How it ended. It doesn't excuse the parent. It doesn't. Yeah, because it's just kind of like, I guess we can go ahead. Go ahead and talk about it, like how Sierra decided to go ahead and go on this ski trip. How did y'all feel about that? Because it was either Carly Red or Bambi who had pointed out, like, your daughter just almost got beat up by a grown woman. Like, yeah, why are Carly. You on this ski trip? So, I mean, at this point, whoever wants to speak on it, like, do you think it is parenting?
I would say a little bit of bad judgment. I think she's been going through a lot, and I understand her wanting to just get away from it all when it seems like the walls are closing in. She's just getting out of court, and then her kids going through stuff. I don't think her kid's a punk, so I think it's one of those situations where she felt comfortable to leave because it wasn't like she was that scared. Of course, when you're on TV, you're going to present it as she's scared because I'm hoping they're going to sue. So you're going to say, my daughter's scared to be at home. I'm pretty sure her daughter ain't scared to be at home. And my bad life, and, you know what I'm saying? So it's one of those situations where, and the dad, it knows now. So I'm sure the house is safe for her to be in the sense of they look like a
staying with him.
Yeah, exactly. Not again, not even at home. She's with him. So it's more of a situation where that's a lot for any person to deal with. And if you're in the limelight, the reality TV, social media, it can be more tethering than the normal person. So I wasn't against it, but she could have took her daughter with her if that wasn't a bad suggestion for bonding.
The thing, like, I feel like with bringing your daughter on a trip like that is A, the girls be acting a fool. Okay, you have two girls on there that they don't like, Sierra and Carly. They don't like each other. Carly's not messing with her. And then, you know, so then it's like, if let's say they get into a fight. Now, that's a bad example to Paris, you know. One. Mm-hmm. Two, Sierra probably felt comfortable. I feel like you can't judge a parent. None of us are parents, so it's hard to really judge what you would do, whatever you have going on in your personal life, whatever, what the timing was, X, Y, and Z, right? I do feel like... Yeah, I don't know. I feel like who knows? But you, I think you get a check every time you're on the episode or like whenever you go on a trip. So I'm sure that that was money in your pocket that you're not going to miss out on either. I'm saying.
I mean, like, it was all about the bands.
Please. It is. I mean, what else would it, why are you on there if it ain't about that? It, yeah. Like promoting your business. What you on here for?
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy. And I don't know. I just, now that I think about it, yeah, even if she did bring her daughter on the trip, she hasn't been the best, you know, example because Carly is still pissed at her for hitting her. So your daughter is at this point, literally, so at this point, your daughter is just, she's reacting off of what she sees. So I don't know. Y'all in the comments, let us know what y'all think about that whole situation. But we're happy that she is okay in the end. And, you know, hopefully this is just a learning lesson for them all. And hopefully she does take it, you know, serious and tries to be a bigger person next time and not end up like her other siblings or, you know, her parents, for instance. No shade, just saying. So speaking of the ski trip, Rashida was the one who coordinated this whole ski trip. And the reason why she couldn't attend was because she also has family issues going on. So it was, you know, first of all, her and Kirk are celebrating their 20 years. And yeah. He had this nice little like date for her set up, had her, you know, this balcony, you know, candle lit, all of that. They had waffles because their first date was at the Waffle House. I just gotta ask y'all, I have been seeing in the blogs like last week about this whole situation and how they're saying that Rashida was like underage when she met Kurt. Elgin, what do you think? Like, do you think this is like some R. Kelly stuff? Or I love Rashida.
I don't speak on that.
But you're not gonna talk about it? Yeah. I thought I was feeling it, but if no one feels comfortable chatting, we don't have to talk about it.
Nah, forget about it. We talk about it.
Okay, Abby, let's talk it. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, in the sense of that's probably why they were at the Waffle House. I'm sure it wasn't R. Kelly to the version where it was that bad.
That was a stretch, y'all. I bet he was a little bit too old.
Yeah, no. But he's probably a little bit too old, but in the South or in the old days, that probably was more of not that bad of a thing. So I'm putting it in line with old school people. Yeah,
I don't know. So I just wanted to sprinkle that in there because when they put the little throwback picture, she looks real young. And I was like,
she did.
Someone commented on the picture. Someone commented on one of their pictures and was like, you were born at this day, y'all 20 years, so that means you was 17. And it was just like, it's not adding up. But that's not my business. Okay. So Kirk's son that, you know, he's clearly had before, him or Rashida or whatever, he has been arrested. And it's crazy because during this dinner, they're talking about just building their legacy and, you know, moving forward. And we know that they've been through so much already. So now it's just like when they're finally on a good track with their relationship, boom, they're trying to get the business together. And then it's a slap in the face. So I don't know, Ebony, just like, how do you think they will be able to overcome and endure this whole situation with their son, seeing that they had just opened up their restaurant? And I don't know if their son was like one of the chefs or something that happened, but just there, like, yeah. So I don't know, just like, what are your views in general of the whole family dynamic in them trying to build a legacy, but always getting pushed back?
All I know is it couldn't be me. Okay. 20 years. This man done cheated on you twice. Had a baby outside your marriage. Girl, I ain't got time for any of that at all.
So Ebony, like, you don't know how I love, I'm man. Not trying to keep the legacy, period.
Listen. You cheat on me once. We can talk about it. We can go to counseling. You have a whole baby?
Baby boy.
Absolutely.
Not baby boy.
That's number
literally
one.
A baby boy, actually.
Like, so that for me already is that we're not making it to 20 years. But you know what? Rashida's a better woman than I am, because that's a adios for me. But with the whole their son thing, I feel like they've been through worse. I feel like they'll get through it. I think really the great highlight about what they were talking about was the fact that they trumped the charges to be as if he was like some heavy drug dealer type gun toting thug, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that was really more of like the purpose of maybe bringing light to the situation on the show, because I feel like that is something that happens and it's plagued in the Black community with Black men all the time. And I mean, you know, to see it even with someone who is a popular, famous, you know, son, you still have those same issues. And so, you know, you have a little bit of weed and then here we go with all the extra stuff. But then they say he had a gun in the car too.
Did they? I can't remember.
Not a
I
gun, remember the weed. But a sawed-off shotgun.
Well, they said that. I think he didn't have
didn't
a handgun.
He, actually, he did have a handgun, though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So
who knows if that was registered or, you know, what the deal was. I don't know.
Right. But, okay, Elgin and Alfie, whoever, well, I guess Alfie, you lead, Elgin, you can kind of, like, pick up on it. Mm-hmm. But with this being a topic of discussion with Black men in America and how they, you know, discuss how, in a sense, we Black men are always kind of getting picked on when it comes to situations like this. I don't know, I guess, have you experienced something like this? Not necessarily being arrested, but do you, within yourself, think it is prevalent for you with just, I don't know, being accused or whatever, to where it could have just been easily squashed, but it was escalated to another level? Or do you feel you have to be more protective? I don't know what I'm trying to ask you guys. Just give me your insight.
I think when it comes to being just a Black male in general, the structure of the judicial system is really messed up for us. So no matter what, we already have to be on our P's and Q's when it comes to sentencing and when it comes to just how the court handles us in general. I haven't been fortunately in a situation where somebody's tried to allow me from the cop's perspective. But at the same time, I know it does happen and it has happened to friends of mine from Miami. I think with having weed in California, it's a little easier to move around. But I'm not too sure what the laws are in Georgia. And definitely, I know Florida does the 10-20 life stuff with the guns. So there's, like, I'm not too sure if that's, I know Georgia's really strict. So in the sense of he's in a super jam. This is not nothing to play with. And a sawed-off shotgun, and like he said, those are heavy, you know, things. That's a felony in its own sense. And in the sense of even why you have a gun, or if you feel you need to carry a gun, you definitely should have it registered or have all that stuff taken care of. And if you have that kind of stuff on your person, it should be in a trunk or it's hidden somewhere. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to move around where it's not even recreationally legal, then you definitely got to, you know, again, he doesn't seem like he was necessarily the most innocent person. He does have a juvie record, but that is no excuse for anybody being treated like that. So it's one of those situations, if you already know you've gone through stuff, you need to be even more on it, my G. So
yeah,
for those who, you know, I'm not perfect. I've had a DUI in my life, but I definitely wouldn't have a gun right now and run around smoking and stuff like that right now, because everybody's gone through stuff. And if you pay your dues, then you good. But in the sense of moving forward, hopefully that elevates your consciousness on taking care of yourself, because it's all on you at the end of the day. And that's why I feel like shooters' reaction to stuff and him losing a child is prevalent, because they could have lost a child that night and another woman could have been shot like all these other people, and they had reason for him to be scared. So, you know, he exaggerated, which is why you could tell you can't trust nobody but yourself and your family. And even that is wavering based off the person. So with these cops, be on your cues and hopefully you make it. Even then, you might not make it. So that's why it's so serious. My G, you can go.
Yeah.
Hey. I agree with that.
Yeah, I didn't mean like, okay, guys, air your dirty laundry. I'm just saying, like, I guess just speak on it, just like as Black men, like, how do you have to protect yourself in general?
I feel like that whole entire situation is just, it's a lot. Like, and it's hard to even like put it into words sometimes. But I feel like the worst thing about things like that is that, as Black men, we have to be hyper aware about stuff like that. And just that alone is a burden on itself. And I feel like other people don't have to be aware about certain things like that. And although I haven't been put in a situation like that, I'm still aware that it could happen at any time. And I feel like some people, you know, use the argument like, oh, this wouldn't happen here, you know, it's California, or like, you know, it's another safe place where they don't do that. But like, you have to be aware that it could happen. Anything can happen anywhere at any time. So I think people should just be hyper aware of that. And also, I think some people feel like they're protected by that too. Like some people like, oh, like just because I'm this skin color, like I'm sophisticated, you know, they're not gonna, you know, do that. Like, it doesn't matter. Like they're gonna see you just as you are, you know? And I think a lot of people have that mindset too. So you just have to be aware, like as a black person, a black man, especially like in America, about a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. And that kind of is just like stressful alone.
I mean, I feel like I don't want this like point to be missed, because I feel like someone who doesn't have this experience or isn't living the black, you know, experience may not understand 100%. And the problem is as to why black men feel like they have to be so on guard is the fact that we're already looked at as dangerous. So that's, it already puts people in a different mindset. If you're seeing a black man walk down the street at 10 o'clock at night, you're already, your assumption and is already like, oh my gosh, is he going to rob me? And maybe it might be subconscious, but like, that's how you think. So if that's how you imagine how like cops are thinking or other people are thinking with like highly deadly weapons, you know what I'm saying? So I don't want that point to be missed. It's not like, oh, we're just on guard just because there's reason.
It's reasoning behind it. Years of reasoning. But that good insight, guys. I really like that we were able to, you know, kind of hit on that. And I'm happy that they were able to hit on it. It's a, even though Love and Hip Hop is messy, they do try to fit in some of the stuff that needs to be said. So, unfortunately, it's through them dealing with it, but it could be helpful in a way also, just to educate and just keep people on their toes and alert. But like I said, go ahead if you have something to say.
Just this last little tidbit also. In situations like that, please know the law, know your rights, and know what you can and can't do, because that could be the difference between life and death also. So make sure.
Amen.
You know that.
Amen. Yes, tidbit. Wow. So Rashida did not go because of all of that drama, and they continued on with the ski trip. Y'all, is Bambi pregnant? She's on the bus throwing up. Spice, it was revealed that Spice is not messing with Shekinah, and Carly and Sierra are just still just kind of butting heads.
Wait, so like, why isn't Spice messing with Shekinah? Like, what was the drama?
What was this like, at this point, it sounded like Spice just needed to just spice some stuff up at the moment, because the whole show, like, she hasn't really been prevalent, right? So it was kind of just like her and Shekinah have kind of just been the sprinkles in, and now it's just like, boom, this our storyline, and she just was kind of on the bus. I guess Shekinah said she was pulling up to the ski trip, and Spice is just out of nowhere like, I don't like her. Everybody in the bus like,
I just thought I missed the drama and some passive,
right? Like on Instagram or something.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, I guess we'll see kind of more what happens with that next week. But Bambi, is she pregnant? How did we feel about her thinking, you know, because you can breastfeed, you're not pregnant? FNA or whoever wants to take it.
No, that was
hilarious. I mean, I didn't know that either, if I'm being honest. But I feel like she should probably know that more so than
she should have known that. I don't know what sex ed class she was taking. I don't know what's going on.
Well, hey, she's man, what she... woman, okay? She's doing what she has to do.
Between that and the chicken thing, I'm like, she trying to be Jessica Simpson on this show. If she keep it up, she say one more thing that is questionable, I'm gonna give her.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, this ski trip, I mean, we saw a little bit of Sierra pouring her heart out about her daughter. It was really kind of just like them all coming together and kind of recapping, but I feel like the drama is gonna come later. Lastly, though, I want to talk about Cheyenne and Scrap. So things are getting ready to get a little heated with them. Mama KK is coming in and snitching. She's not playing. Snitch, she's coming in snitching. She's coming in ready to check her clock. Okay, so this whole scenario enlighten me if I missed something, but when did Cheyenne go off on KK? Like, I'm confused. Like, why are they?
That's about that bill.
About the water bill, or
it was a phone bill.
Okay,
she didn't pay her or something.
Because I felt like they were just like kikiing last weekend, last week at their event. So I was just so confused. Like, wait, why is there beef? So how do y'all think Scrap is gonna react to like the news that she is messing with Shooter?
I mean, I feel like we kind of already saw a little snip that he was kind of like, you're supposed to be my bro, like, you didn't tell me. But mm-hmm. I kind of feel like everyone's grown adults here. So, and I feel like it depends whether or not Scrap is going to decide to just be like, okay, whatever, like, this is your decision, do you. But I think that Cheyenne is, you know, she's going to see that he dating somebody else, because KK going to let that out the bag and she's going to see it. So I think she'll end up breaking it off before, you know what I'm saying? Scrap has to get involved, or Scrap, you know what? We'll save that for predictions.
We'll save it for predictions. Anybody have anything to say on that, or
how y'all feeling about it? I personally feel that, I mean, he should feel a little bit of type of way, because, I mean, don't nobody like things going on behind their back. He probably don't even care. It's just, why are you doing things behind my back? You're my friend. You're somebody who I'm supposed to be trusting. So that kind of movement can set precedent for other kind of movement where you're just a backstabbing, moving, shifting kind of guy. So any form of that is something to be worried about. You know what I mean? So, but I did understand why if he was trying to figure out if he's going to take her seriously, holding off, because he does have another girl going on and it does come to head. That's that gray area. It finally becoming black. So for right
well,
now,
it's not a gray area for him. He knows it was gray, gray.
All this stuff about to be some true colors. Red.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it sucks as a friend. Mm-hmm. Like, you notice that your bestie is playing your sister. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, they kind of have their history too, though. Like, he was messing with Sierra at a point in time. I don't know, Elgin, do you want to talk about that?
I didn't know they was really messing around like that. But I did want to add something. Not only are they good friends, but on top of that, they're trying to do business ventures together.
Right.
So that adds another layer to that. So not only are you friends with this person, but you try to make money and have an investment with somebody. So how you gonna do that if all the other strings or all the, you know, all the other ends aren't connected? So that just seems really
messy.
I don't think that
well, we will see next week. It was a lot to talk about this episode. It was a lot going on. Really quick, I want to just, let's just go ahead and do our special segment. Let's just talk about, you know, who this episode, I guess, what was the spiciest moment of this episode? Because so much happened, or what did you feel strongly about through this episode? Alfie, I see your thinking brain going. I'll give you a second. Elgin, who do you think?
Yeah.
I'm really thinking like...
Well, I'll go first. I'm going to give it to Alexis this episode, because, you know, it takes a lot to be able to speak on something very personal like that. And I think it's beautiful that regardless of, you know, however her platform is perceived, she still felt that it was important for her to voice that to the community. So, yes, Alexis, kudos to you in telling your truth and, you know, just being strong enough to help young women out there who are necessarily, or who might be oblivious to what sex trafficking is. So,
yeah.
That's a good one.
Because I didn't know that much.
Me either.
Right. Now, that was good. We talked so much that I forgot that we, about Alexis Sky.
Hey, it was so much going on.
Go ahead, Alfie.
I'm going to give it only because this is probably the only opportunity for him to get anything positive. I'm going to give it to Shooter just because of the way he handled his daughter family situation. Yeah. It was like they could have, you know, gone crazy and he could have gone crazy and they could have made things a lot worse. It's hard to be a rock in your family, especially when those kind of issues are attacking your tribe. So that was really like, you know, 100 grand, hard to be in that position and keep people calm and get your daughter to see the pros and cons of her stuff within being a victim and still being somebody who's there for her, somebody who's there for the family to take her in, do whatever they need, but also be the voice of a higher consciousness of reason, which us as Black people have to have. Okay, boom.
Beautiful. I agree. Ebony, you want to go?
Okay, yeah, sure. So I am going to pick Rashida. I think she really held down the fort this episode. You know, she put together the ski trip, but then decided that she wasn't going to go because of her son. I think obviously that probably was a great push from Kirk. And he was like, you are absolutely not going on this trip. You've lost your mind. But she held it down. And so she's there for her family. I think that's a true ride or die right there. Kirk definitely got himself a ride or die. He
listened,
praying on his lucky stars.
If Rashida can't do nothing else, she can ride or die. Okay.
If she can't rap, she can ride.
Okay. Can't claim. We can ride or die.
Real quick, who brought it?
Okay, I'm gonna have to give it to KK because she made me think twice about, you know, being in the same space with someone checking their blood pressure. So I'm gonna give it to KK.
You know what? I'm here for it. Well, guys, we had a lot to talk about, so we're just gonna wrap this up. I had such a good time. It's a good episode. Let us know where we can find you guys, starting with you, Elgin.
Update, I still only got Instagram, so you can catch me there at Elgin_22.
What about you, Alfie?
I am at Alfred Nolan Thomas #2, TikTok and Instagram. I'll be in the house. Holla at your boy.
Born in the house over there.
What about you, Ebony?
You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at EbonyChapman12.
Yes. Okay. And then you guys can find me on Instagram at Tyra Prude Official and on Twitter at Tyra Prude. It was such a good time talking to you guys. Again, stay safe and we are in this together. This too shall pass. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
No, I'm talking about. No, I'm talking about.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.